Have you ever been treated differently based on how you look, what you wear, or the money you have? In James 2, the apostle doesn't hold back as he addresses the problem of partiality. Today, you'll see that avoiding partiality means recognizing that one day you'll stand before God to give an account of how you treated others. Keep listening to learn today how to honor Christ by loving everyone equally and avoiding the sin of partiality.
Hesiod was a Greek poet who lived about 700 years before the birth of Christ. In his work entitled Works and Days, Hesiod wrote, "Love those who love you and help those who help you. Give to those who give to you, and never to those who do not." Well, let me tell you, that isn't hard to do, is it? That's human nature. In fact, that's pretty much just the way things work out here in this fallen world. But here's something to think about. Jesus was just as kind to the Samaritan woman at the well as he was to Nicodemus, that respected religious leader of Israel. Jesus was just as gracious to a blind beggar named Bartimaeus as he was to a rich young ruler. There was absolutely no partiality in the heart of Jesus. Well, as we set sail back into the book of James, the author is going to tackle this subject now in chapter 2. In fact, he's going to clearly condemn partiality as sinful. He begins with a very strong prohibition of partiality here in verse 1. "My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory." Now, essentially what he's saying is, hey, follow the example of Jesus. Well, James uses an interesting word here that's translated partiality. It's a compound word that means the receiving of face. It came to refer to the attention given to people, well, based on their face, how attractive they were. Over time, it developed into the idea of giving someone favor because of their social status or their education or the color of their skin or their home country. Well, let me tell you, beloved, the sins of partiality and prejudice are as old as the human race. Well, now James follows this prohibition of partiality with an illustration of partiality. He writes here in verse 2, "For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, 'You sit here in a good place, you sit here in a good place,' while you say to the poor man, 'Well, you stand over there,' or 'Sit down here at my feet,' have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" Well, this is a powerful hypothetical illustration, isn't it? A man shows up at the church's gathering. He's wearing a new suit and a gold ring. By the way, the word literally means gold-fingered. This isn't just one ring. Seneca, the Roman philosopher, wrote back in the first century that wealthy men adorned their fingers with rings on every joint. They were showing off their wealth. Well, here comes one into the assembly. Then a poor man enters the assembly about the same time, and James writes here that, well, he's got on a suit of shabby clothing. The word could be translated filthy. So James describes him as you might describe a homeless person today who hadn't had a bath or a change of clothes in months. Well, what happens next? Well, James says here that the rich man gets the best seat in the house, where the poor man is told to either stand in the back or sit on the floor. Well, imagine this kind of demonstration of partiality in a worship service, worshiping Jesus. Well, with that, James presents some arguments against partiality. First, let me put it this way. Partiality is contrary to the gospel. James writes here in verse 5, "Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? Now, James isn't shutting the door on the wealthy. He's simply emphasizing that the gospel of Christ is available to poor people as well. Nobody is beyond the invitation of the gospel. Now, secondly, James argues that partiality, well, it doesn't make any sense. He says here in verse 6, "Are not the rich the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court?" In other words, you're falling all over yourselves to welcome a rich person on Sunday who just might be the same person who's going to drag you into court on Monday. Now, third, James reminds the believers here in verse 7 that if they're impressed with someone's riches rather than that person's relationship with Christ, well, they just might be making friends with someone who will later blaspheme God and discredit the gospel. Again, James isn't saying rich people should be despised. He's simply saying that they're to be treated like everybody else. We're to show everyone that we are governed by the law of love. Verse 8, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if you read that and you're tempted to think, but wait, everybody's prejudiced in some way. It's really no big deal. Well, it is a big deal to God. James clearly writes here in verse 9, if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. Well, let me tell you, beloved, partiality and prejudice aren't social problems. They aren't skin problems. They're sin problems. Well, how do we avoid this sin? Well, James tells us how. He now delivers a solution to partiality here in verse 12. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. Well, there's the solution to all kinds of discrimination. Let me just paraphrase what James writes here. Don't forget that one day you'll give an account to God for how you spoke and how you acted toward those who were different from you. So, keep that in mind, beloved. Demonstrate love toward others, knowing the law of liberty is the standard by which we're all going to be judged one day. Well, now James switches from the law of love to the law of liberty, which is an expression he used back in chapter 1 and verse 25. That's a reference to the Word of God. James is saying that when we refuse to be prejudiced and partial toward others, our actions and our words conform to the Word of God. I remember reading the account of something that happened in a church near a university some time ago. A young woman had been serving in the college ministry in her home church there, reaching college students for Christ, and she had often witnessed to a student named Bill, rather brilliant young man whose hair was always messy. She'd never seen him wearing shoes, and he was always barefoot and in his favorite pair of jeans. Well, one day, to her surprise, Bill showed up on a Sunday morning. The service had already started. The people were singing a hymn when he just sauntered in, wearing his jeans, his t-shirt, and of course, no shoes on his feet. Well, people noticed him and were immediately uncomfortable, but no one said anything. Well, Bill began walking down the aisle looking for a seat, but the sanctuary was crowded that morning. This young woman who'd witnessed to him watched as he slowly walked all the way down to the front, looking back and forth for a seat. When he realized there were no seats, well, he just sat down on the carpet in the middle of the aisle. Well, for the most part, people stopped singing. They were whispering to each other about this visitor who, you know, obviously didn't belong in church, and how dare he come barefoot? The tension, she wrote later, was so thick you could slice it. Well, all of a sudden, one of the well-respected, well-dressed older men began walking down the aisle toward Bill. Everybody kind of thought, well, you can't blame him for what he's going to do. This young man doesn't belong here like that. Well, as the elderly man got closer, all the people kind of held their breath. But to the surprise of everyone, when he finally reached Bill, with some difficulty, he lowered himself and sat down next to him on the floor. He even crossed his legs like Bill did, smiled over at him, and then shared his hymnal. Perhaps more than ever, true love was demonstrated. The law of love, true worship, started taking place. there on the floor in the middle of that aisle. Now, James would say, you know, that's the way to demonstrate the spirit and the attitude of the love of Christ. What'd he do? He came down to where we were and demonstrated to us love in action. Well, beloved, let's demonstrate that kind of love toward others today. And until next time, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and this is the Wisdom Journey. Today's lesson is called The Problem of Partiality. Partiality and prejudice are sin problems, not just social issues. James reminds us that we'll give an account to God for how we treat others. Let's follow Christ's example and show love without favoritism, recognizing the worth of every person before our Lord. Would you be interested in receiving occasional text messages or emails from Stephen? We'd like to stay connected with you and provide you with regular ministry updates and words of encouragement. Stephen sends messages to those who sign up, offering insights and inspiration to help you in your walk with Christ. Whether you prefer text or email, the choice is yours. To sign up, all you need to do is visit wisdomonline.org/email. That's the one place where you can choose to receive both texts and emails, depending on your preference. It's easy to get started, and once you're signed up, you'll be able to receive regular communication from Stephen, keeping you updated and encouraged in your faith. But there's more. Once you're on the list, you'll also have the opportunity to interact directly with Stephen. Feel free to send him a text or email whenever you like. We enjoy hearing from our listeners, and Stephen loves being able to connect personally with those who follow the ministry. Staying connected with others in your Christian journey is important, and receiving encouraging messages from Stephen is just one way to help you stay grounded in your faith. Plus, you'll always be in the loop on what's happening in the ministry and how you can get involved. Sign up today, then join us next time on this Wisdom Journey.